either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
With the tafsir of Surah Yusuf, the kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah is such that when you read even half a line of the Quran, it requires in-depth tafsir. In-depth tafsir. It requires a lot of understanding, there's a lot of commentary. And so, in the last session, in this ayat kareema, where Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, in his words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the glorious speech, where he has mentioned that generally, your based desires, your lower self, your nafs, one of the levels of the nafs is known as nafse ammara, and that will always incite you towards sins, guna. The angels, they are a different creation of Allah, and they never commit sins. Shaitan is that creature of Allah, Satan, who is deprived from any good, and he will only commit sins and disobedience to Allah Pak. Insan has the ability to do both things. And so it all depends at what level he is. And so nafse ammara is that level in which all the time the nafs will tell him to do sins. It will invite him, incite him towards guna. And then another level is what we call nafse lawwama, which is mentioned in Suratul Qiyamah. This level is also very, very important. And the signs of this nafs is that when a person is going to commit a sin, then there is also this fear inside him. Shall I do or shall I not do? So he also fears Allah that I am going to do something that is against the wish and the command of my Allah, against my faith. And if he was to do that guna, that sin, then thereafter there is great remorse. This is something very, very important. When a person is a habitual sinner, then unfortunately what happens, the element of remorse, regret dissipates. That vanishes very, very quickly. So he no longer feels that, you know, what I've done is wrong. It becomes a routine for him. Allah save us. A person is taking drugs all the time. For him, it's just like, you know, eating and consuming something that is edible and that is fine. And when remorse dies, when regret dies, then he is not even at that category of lawama. So he is already down at nafse ammara, where Yusuf alayhi salam has said, inciting towards guna. But then when he works with going against his desires and what the nafs is telling him to do, which is against Shariat, and it is a clear violation, it is guna, and he has the power to fight it. He has the ability to move his nafs from lawama to another category, which is called mutma'inna. What is it called? Mutma'inna. And that mutma'inna is mentioned in another chapter of the Quran, Suratul Fajr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in there, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. La uqsimu biyawmil qiyama, wa la uqsimu bin nafsil lawama. وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ The middle soul. And the most elite, which we should all aim for, is the nafs of itminan, nafs-e mutmainna. very, very important. Now, inshallah, before we look at that level of nafse mutmainna, then go into the next verse of Surah Yusuf. There is one analogy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact rather that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. And he says that a Muslim in the house of Allah, a believer in the masjid, he feels very, very comfortable. He should feel so comfortable. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives an example, kasamaki fil ma, like fish in water. Like fish in water. So his soul is very content, like fish in water. You will find some people who have an allergy towards coming to the masjid. So they only come for Jumu'ah. And when they come for Jumu'ah, they try to make it as late as possible. Some have a habit that they will come in the last 2 minutes of the khutbah. Not even the first khutbah, the last khutbah. And some don't even listen to the khutbah and they just make it for namaz, and some even don't make it for the full 2 rakats. So you will find that these are people whose hearts are not settled. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that the people who feel uncomfortable in the house of Allah to sit, their example is like a bird that has been trapped in a cage. A bird that is trapped in a cage. So the minute the cage is open, it will want to fly away from that cage. Get out. So very sadly, the ummah today is suffering. You'll find that we are the last to come and the first to exit. The last to come and the first to exit. So, we ourselves need to realize at what level we are in. What is our ruh? Where is our ruh? How do we work with our soul? This is something very, very important, my respected brothers. Because when you don't treat your soul, things can go out of hand. I was reading an article in this kitab of an incident that occurred in one city of Arabia. I can't recall which part, but in Arabia. And so generally, you know, in Arabia, especially in the villages and where the towns are, women, Muslim women generally will cover up and they will wear a burqa, and their dressing is very modest. Their dressing is very, very modest. Alhamdulillah, that level of haya is there. And so, there was this one lady who went to a supermarket and she was wearing clothes, no scarf, no abaya, no nothing. Very beautiful woman, and she was revealing her beauty completely to the public. You know, very revealing clothes, very tight to her body, and that is how she dressed up and she went into the supermarket. Now obviously, you know, it's difficult for the men folks, and it's also a sin for her. It's not about saying, oh well, you know, you look down, or that person should do this, and it's not that. Every human being needs to understand that we have a responsibility and we are people of Iman. Allah has given beauty to women. Allah has given physical strength to the men folks. And so she entered the supermarket. So there was this other man and he entered from one side and he saw this lady, and when she got out from the shop, so he followed her. And so this man said to this lady that, sister, can I say something to you? Imagine if Malakul Maut was to stand in front of you right now, what would happen to you? What would happen to you? You see, ego. A lot of the times people feel, no, mashallah, I'm very pious. Why are you pious? I pray namaz. Alhamdulillah, you pray your namaz, that is very good. But you coming to the masjid and praying five times a day does not mean that you have got this blank check and that Allah has given you jannat, you know, at face value because you just pray namaz. Because Islam is not just about namaz. Islam is not about namaz. Of course, it's one of the most important pillars. But you might be praying namaz, but you have takabbur inside you. What is it? Pride and arrogance. But that pride and arrogance is not visible. You can't touch it. You can't see it. And the shaitan tells you, no, mashallah, you know, you're a very humble chap. But yet he will be full of pride. And this is just one disease. There can be so many other issues. Anger, for an example. Jealousy, cheating, doing ghibat, hurting people. Lots of things. So many things he can be doing. So anyway, he said to this lady that, sister, you know, you're here in this environment, you come to the supermarket, this is how you are, skimpy clothes, you know, voluptuous dressing, all open, revealing. What's this? Just say if Malakul Maut was to stand in front of you. Now, you know what she said? She said, have you got a phone? Mobile phone? She goes, he said, yes. She says, take your phone out. He said, why? He said, take your phone out. He took the phone out. He says, I want you to phone your Rabb now and tell him to send Malakul Maut to this pretty woman. What did she say? Oh-ho, look at the words. I want you to get in touch with the heavens and tell them to send Malakul Maut now to this beauty queen, to this pretty woman. Allahu Akbar. This man, when he heard this from this lady, he knew that, subhanAllah, this statement is such that it can open the doors of the anger of Allah. It will kindle the anger of Allah, the wrath of Allah. It will open up the doors of his anger, gussa. So he said, let me just quickly get away from here. So he says that I just turned away and was walking two or three steps. And at the back I heard this lady scream and she fell on her face. And it was such that as if somebody had cracked her backbone and she became not one into one piece standing like that, but she was completely twisted. She was completely twisted and the face was on the ground and dead on instantly on the spot. And this is a waqia, this is a team of people that had been there and have seen this. So in there that man says we have to be so careful of what we utter at times. We don't even realize what we are saying and what we are saying. It can happen. Anything can happen to anybody at any time, what you say. And so this is something that is very important, my respected brothers. Just by wearing your kurta and your long beard and your big pagri and your miswak does not make you Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. Don't live in this, you know, in a fool's paradise that I am something. These are the first people who don't make salam. The people who have long beards and big pagris, they never make salam. They think they are very pious. What do they think? Forgive me. But they think they are very pious. They will look at their Muslim brothers, but they won't make salam. It is the common man that makes salam. Shaitan, he knows how to work, my respected brothers. He knows how to work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. What I'm saying is that we have to evaluate and see, as in Surah Yusuf, all of the tafsir kitabs have mentioned these three levels. Any tafsir kitab, go and see the English tafasir, pick it up, and you'll see that these three levels are mentioned in this ayat-e-kareema. And a lot of tafsir has been mentioned. So we have to aim for nafse mutma'inna. And nafse mutma'inna means contented soul, tranquil soul. The soul that feels peace, it is happy. And this soul will feel at peace when it is aligned towards the obedience to Allah. When your soul and ruh is aligned in that way, then alhamdulillah, even if something happens, he is still happy. Because he knows that I am obedient to my Allah. But the corruption only comes when a person turns his face away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why, mashallah, I can see here, by the grace of Allah, our brothers who are reverts to Islam. May Allah bless them all.
Ameen.
And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that Allah, out of His infinite mercy, every human that comes in this world is a Muslim. The soul is pure, the body is pure. Kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitra. Kullu mauludin yuladu ala al. Every child is born in its innate condition, fitrat, in its nature. How nature, Allah has made nature, that is how this insan comes in this world. He is a Muslim by birth, he is a Muslim. I say that Islam is your birthright. But what happens, unfortunately, it is the environment that corrupts the soul. And when the soul is corrupted, what happens, there is a blindness. Not the blindness of the eyes, but the blindness of the heart. The blindness of the heart. So if this child was born in a family in which everyone is immoral, be-sharam, be-haya, shameless people, then this child that is growing up will also become shameless. He won't have haya. If a child is born in a family in which people are swearing at one another, fighting one another, and drinking alcohol, that environment, this child will also pick that up. If a child is born in an environment in which all of his family members and in the neighborhood, everyone is a cheat and they want to deceive people, he will also become a thug. If a child is born in an environment of shirk, that the family is doing shirk, the environment, everybody are doing shirk, then naturally when this child that is growing up in that society will also become a mushrik. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said this, kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitra. Your ruh needs to be maintained and cleansed all the time. Your soul has to be maintained and cleansed. Like how we look after the house, maintenance, you know, there's maintenance to the building, to your clothes, to your car, to everything that you own, everything, you know, even the human body needs to be maintained. Jumu'ah, you know, you put on your best clothes, you put itar, and you know, you comb your hair and you come properly. Maintenance. So the ruh has to be maintained, which is the most important. That is why our scholars have mentioned that the highest level of impurity is shirk. It's not the impurity that you can touch, peshab or pakhana, you know, something that is impure. No, it's not that. That is impure anyway. But the highest form of impurity is what?
Shirk.
That is why Allah says in the Quran, innamal mushrikuna najasun. Mushrikeen are najas. What are they? Najas. Allah is saying they are napak. And because of this ayat-e-kareema, some fuqaha have mentioned that if a mushrik, if you touch him, your wuzu breaks. Some have actually said that. Because Allah says what? Mushrikeena napak, impure. But this is impurity of shirk. Impurity of shirk. That the soul has become so impure that it becomes very, very difficult for a person to otherwise see what is right and what is wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So mutma'inna should be our aim, that Allah give us this tranquil soul. Now how does a person get to this tranquil soul? Our ulama in the tafsir have mentioned many points. I've just written 3 points here in tafsir. Number one, a tranquil soul is that soul that is content and happy with his iman, with his iman. So that person realizes that the greatest asset that I own is iman. The greatest ni'mah that I have is iman. So because his understanding is that way, that I have iman, faith, which is la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, that is the greatest asset, this is in my possession. So his soul is always content, always happy. He's happy. I have, Allah has given me everything. You have a very beautiful car, expensive car. You know, you have a BMW, you'll park it properly, no scratch, this, that, and cameras in the front, at the back. Be careful how you look after your worldly possession. Admi kitna dhyan rakhta hai. Apne ghar ka kitna dhyan rakhta hai. You know, your house, you will have cameras everywhere. Back garden, front garden, side garden, this garden, front, top, everywhere. Charo taraf, munkar and, not kiram and katibin. Not munkar and nakir, they come in the grave. But what? As in kiram and katibin, like everything is taken control of. So you are just sitting there and you can see your whole house being monitored. Nothing wrong. Alhamdulillah. Nothing wrong. It is the right way, in fact, because you have too many thieves now. What I'm saying, more important than that, is to have cameras installed everywhere in the body to make sure that no thief comes and steals your iman. No thief comes and steals your iman. Number two, ulama have mentioned that he has this tranquil soul. He has this tranquil soul because he has full knowledge of the decree of Allah, the fate, that whatever happens only happens by the will of Allah. So he's happy. If he is sick, the doctors have said something to him, okay, fair enough. I'm happy because this is from Allah. His soul is happy. Everything, he is happy, what we call raza bil qaza, that he is razi with the qaza, as in the fate that Allah has decreed for him, he's happy. Whatever happens is going to happen. Even if I die tomorrow, inshallah, it is my Allah who decreed this for me, I will go to Jannah. I will go to Jannah. That is the hope he has. Number three, he has the full conviction that whatever Allah has promised, it is nothing but the truth. The truth. So he knows that I'm a Muslim, I'm a believer, I don't doubt Iman and Islam, and Allah has promised me that in the hereafter for the people of Iman is Jannatul Firdaus. So he is also happy all the time. So we have to make sure that the soul, the ruh that is inside us is also very, very strong, very, very powerful, mashallah. Now just to give you an explanation as to the reason why this ayat-e kareema in Surah Fajr was revealed. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. This ayat-e kareema in which Allah says, O tranquil soul, return back to your Lord. Irji'i ila rabbik. Radiya mardiyya. Ajib, this is the title that Allah had given to the Sahaba. That Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. So Allah is saying, let your soul come out, that Allah is pleased with you and you are now pleased with Allah. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. Why was this revealed in the Quran? Ulama have mentioned, number one, it was revealed for Hazrat Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala an, when he was made shaheed in the battle of Uhud, his body was mutilated. His body was mutilated. The uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So because of him, this ayat was revealed. The second opinion of the Mufassireen is that this ayat kareema is revealed because Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an gave sweet water that was only available at that time in Medina, which was in the possession of the Yahud, Bire Roma. Hazrat Usman bought the shares and he made that water work for the people of Medina. And in his honor, Allah revealed this ayat kareema. The third opinion is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq in his honor. But then the ulama have mentioned the fourth opinion, which is accepted by most of the mufassireen, is that this ayat kareema was revealed for every believer. For every believer. So for every believer who believes in Allah and His Rasul, and who accepts Islam in its entirety, and who has good character, and he is a good Muslim, obedient to Allah and His Rasul, at the time of death, this basharat, this announcement of tranquil soul is given to him. In Musnad-e Ahmad, a hadith kitab, a sahabi, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has mentioned, he narrates, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to his companions, that when a pious believer is about to depart from this dunya, then a group of angels, they come along, rahmat ke farishte, angels of mercy, they come down, and they come down, and he might be in the hospital somewhere, or he might be at the house somewhere, or he might be in any location where Allah has decreed for him to die. The malaika are there. So they come to him and they bring a gift of silk material from Jannah. This silk material of Jannah, which has got fragrance. And this is not silk of this dunya, silk of Jannah. So they bring this material, which is made of silk, and material that is made in Jannah, of course, and it is put towards him, the face, and then he can actually smell the fragrance of Jannah, and then the malaika say to him, "Ukhruji, now be happy, and let your soul come out from this body. It's time for you to come. Ukhruji ila rabbik, now come out towards your Lord, radiyatan mardiyah, ila rawhillah wa rayhanihi, and towards the mercy of Allah and towards eternal bliss, Then the kafiyat of this person that is inside, he is in a rush. He wants to quickly depart from his body. He wants to get out. So very quickly then the ruh is taken out and it is put into the silk material, and with honor and respect it is taken to Alam-e-Illiyin. Where is it taken? To Alam-e-Illiyin. That is why Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an says that one day Allah's Nabi read the verses of the Quran, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna, that the angels will announce that, O tranquil soul, now come out from this body and return back to your Lord. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what an honor that the malaika will give him this glad tidings, and what a beautiful statement, glorious speech of Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and he says, O Abu Bakr, I am a witness to this, that this will happen to you. I am a witness that when your soul departs, this will happen to you, that the angels will give you the basharat, Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyah. Allahu Akbar. So my respected brothers and elders, today, you know, I'm wearing a white kurta. Sometimes, you know, I've got Umar, it's fine. He'll tell me if there's any marks here. But if there are any marks here, what will we do? You know, you'll say, bhai, ye sab musalli kahenge, mauli sahab to kitla ghanda ne dirty manas che, dirty kapra pehne ye. So if there is dirt or impurity or anything, we want to remove it quickly. What is it? We want to remove it quickly. Then what about our ruh? How fast are we to say astaghfirullah? How fast are we to cry in front of Allah? That is a question. When is the last time we raised our hands and we cried in front of Allah Pak? Tears came out. You know, Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddis Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayh, in his time in Delhi, there was a man who was traveling, and he was traveling, and in those days you didn't have, you know, the travelers did not have all the facilities that we have today. So he stopped at one location where there were few brothers. And in Delhi, this traveler, he saw that one person has just passed away. One person has just passed away. So they inquired who this person is, and nobody knew, and they probably agreed that he is also a traveler and a musafir. So now as a Muslim, what could they do? There is no one around here. We are all traveling. So they said, chalo, bismillah, we will write a note here that so and so person passed away. This is where he is. These are his belongings, and this is his qabr. So at a distance, they started digging, few of them, five of them. They were digging the qabr. This traveler also was there. He started digging, and he was part of the process. And then they buried this Muslim brother, and everything was done and dusted. And then he realized that he hasn't got his wallet. He hasn't got his wallet. Pesa, tally. So now he was a traveler. You need money when you are traveling. So he knew that, you know what, as I was in the grave digging, definitely my wallet has been dropped in the grave. So he said to the other two, three brothers that were there, let me open up the grave so that inshallah I can take out my wallet. So they said, no, it's fine. It's your necessity and it's fresh. The grave is fresh. Let's quickly. So he says, I'll do it. So he took a shovel and he started digging. So the upper layer of the grave, all the soil that came out, and then now as the lower section, the lower soil that was touching his body and all that. So with the shovel, he was taking it out. The small finger touched the soil that was towards the lower section of the grave. The lower section of the grave. One finger. And it burnt him. The finger started to burn. And quickly he jumped out, and he was so much in pain, unbearable. He left everything. He went to the city. And he went to the Hakims at that time, because at that time the main doctors were Hakims. So he went to the best Hakim to give him, for them to prescribe an ointment or something that will give him some relief. But this one finger is burning and burning and burning, so much tension that he felt he was making dua that, Ya Allah, it is better I die. It is better you give me death. So someone said that, look, go to a great scholar in Delhi, Shah Abdul Haq, Muhaddis Dehlvi, Shah Abdul Aziz, Muhaddis Dehlvi, Rahmatullah Alayh, go to him. So he went to Shah Abdul Aziz, Muhaddis Dehlvi, Rahmatullah Alayh, and he explained the entire situation. And ajeeb what Hazrat said to him, you know. He said, look, you know, your fingers that are burning, the problem is you are looking for the cure in this world, and you will never find the cure for this in this world. No Hakim, no doctor can treat you. Because the fire is not worldly fire. This fire is the fire of the grave, alame barzakh. It is the fire of the hereafter, and not the fire of this dunya. So I am afraid nobody can give you any treatment. So he says, Hazrat, you must show me something what I can do. So he says, I will recommend something. Maybe Allah can give you shifa, who knows. So he said that, you know, turn to Allah, do tawbah and istighfar. Repent to Allah. And when you cry, when you have tears that are flowing from your eyes, get all the tears and rub it on your finger. Let the tears be a form of an ointment and rub it on your fingers that is burning. And do this treatment. So he said, he went, for 1 week he was making dua, and every time he would cry, he would take the tears and he would rub it on the finger. In 1 week, Allah gave him shifa. So he came back to Hazrat, he says, Hazrat, subhanallah, you know, how come Allah gave me shifa? He says, Allah gave you shifa because in the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the flames of Jahannam can only be extinguished by the tears of a believer who cries with sincerity. So I felt that perhaps this is your treatment. So my respected brothers and elders, we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we also want to go to Jannah. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Otherwise it becomes very, very difficult. Very difficult. So khair, talking about nafse mutma'inna, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, who is a sahabi, and Hazrat, the son of Hazrat Abbas, he died in Taif. He died in Taif. And a strange incident happened when he passed away. It is said that when they opened up his grave, there was this beautiful bird that came flying and went straight into the grave. And nobody saw this bird coming out from the grave. It was like as if this bird went into the body of Hazrat Ibn Abbas. Everybody is looking, what? Kaha gaya parinda? Just went straight in and didn't come out. So everybody then, again, he was a great sahabi and they were burying him. It is said that after burial, everyone that was there heard this voice, invisible voice, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, or tranquil soul, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya, fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. Allah, give us the tawfiq. When you have this soul, Allah give you and I, everybody this soul, the barakat is ajeeb. But just to mention this and inshallah we conclude. Subhanallah, once a group of Muslimin were captured in a Roman city, and the king was a ruthless king, zalim thawo. So he coerced the Muslims that they should become kafir, they should turn away from Islam. He forced them. Otherwise, he said that I will behead every one of you. So three of them actually accepted the religion of that king and they became Christians. And there was one person, and Allama Tabarani has mentioned this. Most of the Tafasir Kitab have this. Allama Tabarani has mentioned, so this one man said, no, you can do what you want. So they beheaded him and the king took the head, and there was this river that was flowing from the king's palace at the top and going all the way down to the main city. So he threw the head and it went inside, and then Allah's Qudrat, and everybody thought that, you know, this person is dead now, finished. So the head actually came out towards where the city is, towards the surface, and Allah's Qudrat, the three people who left Islam, they were walking and they stopped there and the head was also there. So when they saw that this is our companion and the head is there, just the head, it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put life into the head, and it looked at the three people and read the verse of the Quran that you have left Islam, but let me tell you what has happened to me. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. And as this, you know, decapitated head that was cut, severed from the body is speaking, all of the Christians also gathered there. It is said that the entire Christian community accepted Islam. And the three who became murtad also accepted Islam. Allahu Akbar. How Allah works, my respected brothers and elders. So we have to be very, very careful. And so khair, these are the three levels of your soul. One is nafse ammara, which Allah save us from. And then the middle one is nafse lawama. So can I quickly ask you, what are the symptoms of lawama? Huh? See? Remorse. That he is still frightened to carry out something that is against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he does something, there is what? Remorse. Remorse is very important. Remorse. Regret is very important. When a person feels that, you know what, there's no regret, that's dangerous. When he does something wrong, no regret, that is very dangerous. And then the highest level is what? Mutmainna. Contented, tranquil soul. He knows everything happens by the will of Allah. Complete reliance upon Allah. He knows that whatever happens, the end result is for me, I will be in Jannah because that is the promise of Allah and I have got to look after my Iman. So khair, when Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, he was still in prison. And وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِ بِهِ وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِ بِهِ أَسْتَخْلِصُهُ لِنَفْسِي. The Quran says, then the king had sent his emissaries and his guards to go and receive Yusuf alayhi salam and tell him that with honor the king will receive you and we want you to come out from prison and come to the palace. So when Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam was in prison and the guards came with this royal message from the king, what did he do? Subhanallah. It comes in the kitabs, tafsir kitab. Imam Baghawi rahmatullah alayh has mentioned this, that he did ghusl and he put on his new clothes in prison and he read two rakats namaz and he made dua for himself and he made dua for all of the people that were in the prison. All of the people that were in the prison. And then he came, and then before he reached the palace, the front yard of the palace, the court, he told the guards to stop. And then he looked at the palace. Sometimes a person can forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking, oh, you know what, everything is done for me now. The king is calling me. You know, I'm done. Mera to kaam ho gaya. But look at their connection with Allah. And these are things that we need to learn. We should not get too confident, you know, in things what we do. All the time we need to praise Allah. Even if somebody has made a path easy for us, we must not forget to thank Allah. So now he is looking at the palace and he looks at the palace and he says, Hasbi Rabbi min dunyaya. Allah is most sufficient for me in this dunya, in this world. Hasbi Rabbi min khalqihi. And Allah is most sufficient for me. Really, I don't need nobody. Allah is enough for me on behalf of His creation. Even if He's a king, in reality, Allah is enough for me. I just need my Allah. Azza jaruhu wa jalla sana'uhu. And he says, honor is for that person who Allah protects. And the most praise is for the one who is the most sublime, and that is only Allah. وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ. And there is no God but Allah. So he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is how he entered the court. And it is said that when he saw the king. Now this is not a governor. This is the king. Yusuf alayhi salam saw him first time. You know, the king has never seen this man. And Yusuf alayhi salam is in the palace now, standing in front of him. It comes in the books of tafsir that the king knew many, many languages. He knew many languages. But the two languages that he did not know was Arabic and Hebrew. He didn't know Arabic and Hebrew. Yusuf alayhi salam saw him and spoke to him in Arabic. And said to him, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What did he do? Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And obviously he didn't know what that meant because he couldn't speak Arabic. But Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam could speak the language. And then Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam explained to him what is the meaning of assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalam is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was so impressed at the very first meeting with Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam that he said, astakhlishu li nafsi. You know, I want to make this man only for myself. Astakhlishu, yani khalis mere liye. He is for me. Falamma kallamahu. And the Quran says, when the king spoke with Yusuf alayhi salam, the eloquence of this Nabi, then the king said, innaka al-yawma ladayna makinun amin. That as from today, you will have nothing but favors from me and you will be the most honored. You will be the most honored. So you will have favor and honor from me as from today. And this is what the king said to him. And then thereafter, they negotiate. He asks Yusuf alayhi salam, because of the difficulty of the 7 years, remember the drought that is going to come. So what are we to do? So this is mentioned in the next few verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Inshallah, if you can close your eyes for a few minutes and do muraqabah. Let the heart do the tasbih of Allah. Take the name of Allah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina al-Mursaleen Rabbi ighfir wa arhamu anta khairul rahimin samina wa ta'ana gufrana qarabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika ya Rabbi.